Thank you. Thank you. Tonight. I was the previous night. I can probably say it now. My stepfather passed away, like 9 days ago. So I had to drive home very fast from Glasgow, where I had a gig, back to Blackpool, where I'm from, and got my speeding ticket arrived in the post. But you know, maybe if I tell them, they'll. I didn't make it, but he had cancer for 2 years, and then the past month and a half, it was became treatable, and he got worse very, very quickly. So I've been spending a lot of time there. And if you've seen me before, you'll know that sometimes on stage I'm really, really, really emotional. Partly because I have a thing called bipolar disorder, which means I literally can't control the chemicals. Well, nobody does it consciously, but the chemicals in my brain don't regulate at all. So if I'm getting a bit too one way, the little receptors in the brain which go, oh, there's a bit too much of that going on, and they stop producing those hormones, they don't work. So I just get more and more, whatever way I'm going. I'm worse at the moment than usual. You know, you don't want to know that, it's too much information, but Russell Kane is playing in the other room, right? His whole thing is he tells you every fucking intimate detail of his pain, okay? Well, me too. Now what I want to do is just be Russell Kane and tell you for an hour and a half about how awesome my stepdad was, but I'm not going to do that. Anyway, what I'm going to do is quickly now, to reverse direction in my brain, tell you what I played. So I started out with a song called Cocoon, which is brand new. I only finished it, I wrote it in a day, which never happened, and I wrote it a few weeks ago. Yeah, it's called Cocoon. It was the pretty one at the start. And that's for my baby that I had last year. And, well, I didn't, my wife. Nominated herself for that task. I swore I would never write a song for my child if I ever had a child, because it's so cheesy. But then I realised that you're emotionally compelled to do so, and so I did. I couldn't fight it. And then I played a little pretty instrumental called Topeka. Then I played Ain't Nobody, which is my emergency disco song by Chaka Khan. And then I just played Everything right now. That's the name of the song, Everything. Alan, can I have a tiny bit more monitor, please? Just the tiniest bit, I just can't tune. The reason I can't tune, fact found, is because the room is very, very cavernous in here and reverberates around. So every note that I play, I hear it back at myself a moment later. And when you're tuning, the whole point is that you gradually move the note until it's correct. And if you're gradually moving the note and then gradually hearing it again a moment later, you don't know when to stop. I don't know if that made any sense, but that's the science. Anyway, so those of you who've seen me before will know that sometimes on my gigs I like to break off from playing songs and give a guitar lesson from the stage. It sounds like really boring, but actually it's really popular, it's quite fun and entertaining. I do a thing called How to Play Drums on the Guitar in One Easy Lesson. But I've been doing that for quite a while now I've decided maybe I should give it a rest, so I'm not doing that tonight. Instead, I'm going to do a thing called How to Play Like a Whole Band on the guitar in all these years. New and improved. The genre of music I've decided to use for this one-man band is reggae, which might sound completely random, right? But as in everything I do, there is logic. Because in a reggae band, you might have like 5, 6, 7, 8 more people on stage, so there's lots of different instruments I can show you. But they're all doing virtually nothing. Makes it a lot easier for me to demonstrate. Now, I could teach you how to play like, you know, I could try and play like a whole bluegrass band on the guitar, but then it would just be like 3 guys all going fucking mental the entire time. So it is possible, but not in one easy lesson. So the reggae thing, let me try. So it's true, right? They're all doing. What do I mean? They're all doing nothing, right? Okay. So say you've got a keyboard player. His whole job in the band could just be. The tension of whether I'm going to do it again. Right, anyway, so my reggae band. I'll start with the drummer. I'll show you his drums one at a time, though. Oh, I'm really frantic tonight in my mind. I can hear how fast I'm talking. I can't control it. I'm sorry. This is me trying to speak as slow as I possibly can at home. The kick drum will be my first drum. The bass drum, the low bass drum. So, I'll do it like this. So I'm just, for those who don't actually care, I'm just dropping my wrist down onto the soundboard of the guitar, and you can hear it because there's a little microphone inside. Let's try another drum. There's a reverb on actually. There it is. Let's try another drum. Let's have the snare drum. So the snare drum is just like the high-pitched, loud drum. I'm just going to slap the side of the guitar for that one. So, I have the kick. And I'll put the snare in. Okay, so that's kick and snare. Let's take the next drum. So I'm going to take some kind of toms, like just intermediate middling drums. And stick those in between just to fill it out and make it sound more musical and less like a badly programmed drum machine. So and we have the kick and the snare. And then the toms. Let's take the next musician, but I'll stick with percussion, so somebody playing like some hand percussion. So I'm going to use the guiro. Guiro is like a ridged object, they take many forms, which you hold and then you scrape it with a stick. Do it here, that's too much. Okay, so I'll put the drums in first. And then I'll have the guiro, so drums. And there's the guiro. Okay, I like that. So now I'm going to take that very relaxed keyboard player and put him in. Find a chord. Drums. have to take another instrument. So I'm gonna add like a guitar thing, just every so often. Just take a little lick, like. Okay. So drums. So I've got loads going on now, loads of instruments, but there's one instrument missing. The reason it still sounds kind of empty is because I've left the most important instrument in the reggae band till last. Anybody want to guess what that is? The kazoo, sir. Well done. Well done. I didn't plant him in the audience. It just used to be. And are you from the Caribbean, sir? Yeah. Not many people know that. Yeah. But no, it is, of course, the bass guitar. So, it's not the kazoo, and you're weird. Okay, so, bass, right. Let me put it all together. See, what I do is kind of the opposite of like loads of guys on stage all doing mostly nothing. I'm one guy on stage doing fucking everything. So rather than being relaxed and chilled through the gig, I'm just in a state of constant terror. And I'm like somebody spinning plates. You see, we need to bring that back. Because nobody like under maybe even 30, I mean I'm 40, so nobody really. And I'm from Blackpool, so spinning plates is like, you have to learn these kinds of things when you're a kid in Blackpool to make a living. People don't even know what it is, do they? But that's what I do, is spinning. It's also a Radiohead song, spinning. Yeah, so I'm like, what the fuck I'm talking about? It's like Russell Cain gig, is that? It's just a stream of consciousness. It's all genius, you don't need to worry. Sound like I'm being sarcastic about it now, but that's just how I sound. Where was I? Thanks. Right, thanks. Kick. Yeah, kick. That'll be sound number one. Sound number two will be the snare. Sound number three will be the toms. Sound number four is the guiro. Sound number five is the keyboard. And sound number six is the guitar. Okay, then sound number seven will be the bass. If that's all going according to plan, which I cannot guarantee, then sound eight will be me singing. And then if there is a sound number nine, something's gone terribly wrong. Kick.
I wrap it around me like my mother's blanket.
Thank you very much. So, obviously now you can all do that. Songs. See if they work. See if they're right. See if they're wrong. Most people don't do that. Most people write a song, record a song, release a song, and then tour the song. But I do it the other way around because, you know, I've just spent most of my life playing gigs in little pubs, and I write a song and go and test it out in my gigs, and it didn't matter. Song is about, I'm not really sure yet, but it's just came out like a stream of consciousness, so I don't really know what I was thinking about. I'm very interested in science, in natural sciences, if, things like astrophysics and marine biology and those kinds of things fascinate me. When you learn that the universe is 13.7 billion years old, and you realise what that number means, and how the existence of our entire species, let alone a single human life, is a blink of an eye, not even that. And you realise it doesn't matter how many golden palaces you build, or how much of a mark you try to make on the rest of, you know, society. Not naming any Trumps. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You're just a blink of an eye. Just get over it. And when you realise that we're all made out of the same stuff, we're all virtually identical twins, pretty much. You know, we're all the same. It doesn't matter where we're from, or it doesn't make any difference. And then, you know, we're pretty much the same as, like, you know, a chimp, or for that matter, a tree. The DNA is virtually the same, really, when it comes down to it. We're all made out of the same proteins and minerals, and all those are made out of the same elements that are actually not only in us, but in our planet and in the sun. And each one of those is made out of tiny little subatomic particles that is made out of stuff that only exists by chance, literally. And, you know, it doesn't matter how many golden palaces you build, or how much better than everyone else you try to be, we're all the same. I find that very comforting. So I wrote a like an atheist hymn, I guess you'd call it. This is my song to just nature and existence, from me to it. It's called Universal Biology. And I've played it a couple of times. It's not gone that well, to be honest. Universal Biology, take one. Thank you.
Frivolous war.
seems inappropriate. If you need to get up for something, then just do it. I'm not in an interval kind of a place. Can't put the stopper back in the bottle sometimes. So I'm going to play an instrumental. This tune is about a town called Wukan in China, which is a little town in the countryside. And they've been having a revolution there. It's funny, right? People say, oh, Brexit, right? I mean, I have loads of issues with European Union. Just kind of hate this kind of centred, corporatised power structure thing. But also, I just like the kind of, you know, Star Trek idea of just one world, no borders, everyone getting along in peace and harmony and stuff. Anyway, yeah, the Brexit thing, people, I hear it all the time. Oh, you just shouldn't give people a say. It's just, you shouldn't have let people vote on it or whatever. It's too much democracy, but it's not. That's not what happened. It's the opposite of that. It's the fact that we've had no democracy for such a long time because you had a choice between kind of New Labour or the Conservatives, who are very, very similar, really. And so then you give people a little whiff of democracy and say, vote for this and there'll be actual change, and they all fucking vote for it. And the reason I know that is because I've been to places that don't have democracy, and Wukan is a place that was fighting for just a little bit of freedom, not to basically have a nuclear power station on the outskirts of this little farming town, and just a new development, and they just wanted their lives to continue, as they always had done for centuries, and not have their land taken away from them, and not be compensated for that, you know, stuff like that. Basic stuff, really. And so they had a little protest, and people got killed, and it's still going on. After 6 years now. And anyway, those are the people we should be helping to bring democracy to the world, not bombing the Middle East. It doesn't work, you know. But anyway. Oh, well, Labour. Thought I heard something then. Anyway. This is called Wukan Motorcycle Kid because it's named after a boy who was riding around the streets of Wukan on his scooter. And he was looking back. This was after a curfew was imposed by the government and the secret police were sent in to enforce it. And he was riding around the streets at night, and when he saw a secret police guy lurking down a back alley, waiting to arrest people, this kid would shout a warning to the townspeople and then speed off on his little scooter with bullets whistling past his ears. And so I named the tune for him. So it's basically Chinese classical music, which will, you know, obviously everyone's into Chinese classical music, so I thought, you know, just jump on the bandwagon there. But then at the end, it changes into the kid on his bike being chased by the, being shot at. You can hear the gunshots in the bike. I'm on the artwork for this that I drew him on a massive fucking, like, Harley type bike, because I thought that's probably what he wants. He's on that little scooter, so. It's probably what his scooter is in his imagination. I'd like to try one more new song. This song is, it's really obvious from the lyrics, I think. It's just about how much I kind of hate the commodification of music. In certain ways, and the commodification of everything. Politics, ideas, people. It's called Dream Factory. And it's a pop song, I think. I sometimes have a bit of a tin ear for that, but I think I've written a pop song. So I'm going to be pretty rich, I think.
That's how it works. Dream Factory.
Burn, burn, burn the factory down.
2010, which is very new for me, 2010 Peugeot 207 Estate with a big dent in the side. I think when I release that song, I could probably buy like a fleet of Peugeot 207 Estates if I wanted to. Would be the talk of Beeston and Leeds. Beeston and Leeds, mostly famous for being the home of the 7-7 Bombers, and it's mostly, it's a good place if you like crack. My next door neighbour sells crack and weed out of a, we've all got gates, you know, on the front doors. So when you open the front door, there's a metal gate that you unlock. I don't know if you have any areas of Bristol that are rough enough that you need those. We all have those. So they're quite good for drug dealers because you can open the front door and deal through the bars and the police can't ram your door down. Anyway, my next door neighbour, what I didn't mention, is that she's a 70-year-old woman. True. She doesn't speak much English. She is English. I'm going to give you the wrong idea. Bless her aged soul, her aged drug dealing soul. She's not the sharpest tool. What am I doing? The reason I'm telling you this is because I just sold my house. Bye. Bye, you stabby twats. I'm so happy. A slightly less shit area for the first time in my life. So, really sorry I'm talking bollocks. I can't really control myself tonight, what's coming out of my head. So, I'm going to play another song that's new in that you haven't heard it unless you've been to see me live. I've played it on my last tour, but I haven't recorded it yet. I haven't had time, I was baby stuff. And so, this song is. Quite a bipolar representative song. I was watching a nature documentary, as I like to do sometimes, about fish, and it was the fish that live in the very deepest, it's very much like being in this room, actually, really, really dark, deepest oceans. It's just really dark, except down there it's also incredibly cold, it's also completely silent, there's almost no life, because there's no light, so there's no plants can grow, and all there is down there are just a few of these fish, and these fish are hideous. They have fangs, great big, and just dangly neon stuff, and massive weird eyes. And anyway, I watched this documentary and became very depressed about these fish and their seemingly unbelievably bleak existence. It is funny, and I do think that is funny, and I tell the story because it's funny, but it is true. I was genuinely really depressed for about a week about these fish, because I'm mental. And it is funny, and you can laugh, and I think it's funny, but I really was. And then I had this realisation that, so I couldn't just think about anything else, then I had this realisation that these fish, they must come from somewhere. There must be like daddy, hideous little fish bastards, and mummy, hideous little fish bastards, and they must meet and fall in love and make little baby, hideous fish bastards. And I thought, actually, that's unbelievably inspiring. And actually, is that really that different from our lives? So, you're probably becoming incredulous now, but I did write a love song. Why? It's called Deep Sea Fishes. It's much better than you think it's going to be, I swear. Try and get recorded so you don't have to wait until next time on tour. I'll really try very hard to get some time and get them on tape. And right now I'm going to play something from my album Secrets Nobody Keeps. Oh, and let me just tell you about my merch, because I just thought of it. So this next one's from Secrets Nobody Keeps, which is the orange album out there. I have four albums for sale, like this, that one, which has like Passion Flower and stuff on it. And then there's the one before that, Don't Panic, which is 2009. And then one from way back in 2003, which is Hypertension, which I just made on a four track, which is a really shit recording equipment. Those who don't know what that is, still like a little recorder. And then I have the thing that I did about a year ago called Live in the Acoustic Asylum, which is where I just wanted to make a load of videos for songs that didn't have videos on YouTube. So I just went into a room, which me and Owen and Ed and Danielle, who helped me, we dubbed it the Acoustic Asylum. But it's not a real place, okay? Basically this right now is it. Welcome. And I just played the songs as I'm doing now, but with a camera in front of me and, you know, tape machine rolling. And then we were listening back to the audio and it was really good. I liked it more than I liked the album version in some cases. I just made it into CDs and released it. And that's called Live in the Acoustic Asylum. And it's only a fiver because, you know, I just made it in 3 days and released it by accident, so I don't like to be a twat about it. I have t-shirts, I have plectrums, I have download cards, and I also do have a baby now. And she is looking quite thin. You'll never get fat, have you? Not this day, mate. You'll never get a husband, etc. I love just reverting to Yorkshire stuff. You can't let her get fat, she won't get a husband. No, I've already decided she's a lesbian anyway. Not having any of that business with the, you know, boys with their dangly desires. It's disgusting. Anyway, the next song is Blues. Shit about yourself, or you're feeling down or in a bad mood, and it means that you've all had that, and you just can't communicate with people. When you're like that, and the closer you are to them, the less likely you are to be able to communicate with them, the more mean you're likely to be to them. So.
With what you said,
Every song that I play is in a completely different tuning on the guitar. If you think that doesn't matter, here's Stairway. There's a reason I do that. I know all the theory, all the music theory, I know it, because I'm a geek and I find that stuff easy. I find that stuff easier than, you know, some of the kind of physical stuff or whatever, you know, involved with music. More instinctive stuff I struggle with, but the intellectual stuff, you know, I'm a dweeb. So I know where every note is on the guitar at all times, and every scale and chord and arpeggio and mode. You might think, well, that's very helpful. Actually, one of the great things about the guitar, and one of my favourite things about it.
What, mate?
Tuning and talking at the same time, because you sometimes get lost. Telling my guitar to fuck off, by the way. I would never be mean to Wilma. Just myself, I was saying that. One of the great things about the guitar is that you can... You don't need to know how I do it. You don't need to know any of that theory. You need nothing. It's just a box, you know, with strings on it that you do. It just makes a musical noise. You put your fingers in places. You don't need any of those skills, you know. Some of the greatest songwriters ever didn't have any of that knowledge. They could write great songs almost because they were lost, because the guitar to them was a blank canvas. Whereas to me, when I look at it, I see, you know, or whatever. So I see all the outlines already drawn up. So when I tune my guitar funny, I get lost. And I'm like Kurt Cobain or, you know, Joni Mitchell, who didn't know anything about the notes that they were playing on the guitar, and I'm able to be creative, you know. Brings me to have to retune between every song, which is fucking boring. And the reason I told you about that then is because during the gig, I normally try and just make each song, so I only have to tune two or three strings for the next song. But just then, I had to tune every string, some of them twice. So that's why now in tune. That's why I told you that long anecdote as I tuned. Right, so this is a really old song. This is called Hey Child.
Take it to God.
Say a huge thank you to Paul Bailey. I did a thing with this tour, which I have done once before, and I'm never sure if it makes me look like a dick, but what I do is I ask people to, if they want to open for me on tour, and if they're kind of local to the city where I'm playing, to just send me their stuff on social media. And I listen to them or watch the video or whatever. Depending on how many people apply, I watch most of them. Sometimes it's like 100, I can't, I don't have time. But the point is, it's really hard sometimes to get support slots on gigs, especially ones that are appropriate to you, because people like me go on tour and we take somebody with us. In fact, I was offered for this tour, an American guy wanted to open for me. His management company offered me $400 a show for him to play. I mean, to me, that's really messed up. It's really, really, really wrong. As much as I was torn, deeply torn and just really could do with that extra money, you know, it'd be amazing, but that side of the music industry where people pay to perform, it's really messed up because most people, you know, they can't afford to do that, and so they never get the gig. You know, musicians can't afford to do that, only like rich kids. That's why, you know, if you look at the charts, it's full of basically posh kids. Which is true. I mean, I've nothing against them. They've worked hard and they've got where they are. But it is harder for if you're not James Blunt, or I don't want to name any of those because some of them I know. And we've had this conversation and they feel the same as I do. But I don't want you to feel slagging anybody off, but James Blunt I don't really care about. So I'll mention him. And actually, not only do I not really bothered about him, you know, nothing against him, but he did say that it was harder for him being posh. Rich, because people didn't take him seriously, and it's like, mate, at least you could get the fucking gigs and the record deal and all that stuff, you know? Harder my arse. Anyway, what was I talking about? Yeah, so, Paul, I watched his video, he busks, I assume, in Bristol. Yeah, so you can see him on the streets playing, and his video that I watched was him busking and people just wandering past, getting up with him and playing with him. And that should be awful, just randoms appearing and joining in. But he made it great because he's just kind of living and breathing music and much more reactive. I don't know. I'm jealous of people who can be that just immediately responsive, and it's just great. He's just a really natural musician. It was great to see him on stage. So thanks, Paul. Have you got CDs, mate? Have you got CDs? So CDs available out there. If you've got mine, buy his. Or no, just buy his anyway. But I mean, some people have got all my stuff. Sorry. Okay. I didn't mean that way. I think I said that last night as well, but didn't explain it. Okay. And I just want to say a huge thank you to everybody here for coming. It's sold out tonight, and that blows my mind. It was sold out last time I came here as well. But I just think, you know, I'm taking a bit of time off. I had a baby. I'm waiting. I'm basically waiting till nobody gives a shit anymore, like they did. For the first, you know, 90% of my playing career, and I'm waiting for that. Not with dread. I totally look forward to the day when I'm playing in the Cricketers' Arms in Keighley to four people again, because it was beautiful. It really was. It sounds like I loved it, and I don't mind. But I am waiting for that, and I'm constantly amazed that hasn't happened yet. Okay. So thank you so much, because none of you know about me because of advertising. You all know about me, because I can't afford that. So you only know about me if somebody's told you about me, or maybe. You know, they've told you, or you've told somebody else, and you can't even remember who told who, or whatever. But I really, really appreciate that. Please don't stop, because without people, you know, suggesting to their friends that they check me out, I'd just still be in the Cricketers' Arms.
What did I do to love that place?
Much as I love it.
Don't fuck with me. Oh.
Now you can feel it. I've been here for 2 hours. Sorry I played so long, I just needed to tonight. It's a Sunday as well, so I apologize, but I've never had a job, so I don't really know what I'm saying. What's that? This I'll try and get out at some point and sign you. Whatever. Firstborn or. Okay, so don't tell anybody. But if you know anybody in Leeds, there's a place called the Brudenell Social Club. It's very, very famous in Leeds. The Brudenell. Jeremy Corbyn's going to be there at 4 p.m. tomorrow. It's fucking completely secret. Okay? It's literally a total secret, and I'm not allowed to put it on social media or anything. I'm not going to be there, I'm on tour, but my wife's taking my baby to get blessed. So just don't tell anybody, okay? Don't tell anybody. He's going to be in the car park of the Brutinel Social Club. I don't know what, like, normally what happens in the car park of the Brutinel Social Club is just, you know, it'll be presumably having a fight over somebody having spilt his Stella.
So it's the end of the gig now, you can feel it, right?
This song is dedicated in grateful memory.
You crack up through the cable.
Thank you so much for coming. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. Thank you.